Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Riding the Storm Out. Of course, my good friend and co-pastor Dan Fisher is back with me this week. We had a wonderful show last week without Dan, perhaps our best ever. Generally, the best shows are when you're traveling
zero
somewhere.
Zero content, I would imagine.
But it is, of course, the purpose is to present a biblical spin or biblical view on current cultural issues, because our congregations are hungry for some direction. And of course, we try to help equip pastors in our Liberty Pastors training camps as we're trying to train up the modern day Black Robe Regiment. But also, we want to be able to communicate with our conservative, God fearing audience out there. So, Dan, it's good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back.
We've traveled a lot this last couple of weeks, but
yes,
now we're back at home.
Yes, we have.
And of course, today we're going to talk about basically, well, a number of things, but inflation and modern monetary theory. Tell me, buddy, first of all, I think we need to define what a dollar is. Can we define what a dollar in a simple way? I mean, it's...
Well, we used to be able to.
Yeah, I used to.
I don't know if you can now.
Well, technically, the currency is a store of our labor.
Of our labor.
I mean,
if I was
a painter and you were a plumber, I have a trade, you have a trade, we can swap services, but perhaps you don't need painting at the same time I need plumbing.
Yeah.
So I can go out and paint houses and do whatever, and I can be paid for my labor and accumulate that store of labor, and then I've got it in dollars, and it's in the bank, as good as money in the bank.
Yeah.
And then when I need your services, I have the capability of being able to pay for your services.
Exactly.
So really, money is just basically an agreed-to form of exchange.
And there's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees as to what that dollar is worth.
Yep.
And for most of our history, it was based on gold or silver.
Right.
So the gold or the silver determined what the dollar was worth.
6,000 years of human history, gold and silver has always been the standard.
Exactly.
And in America, it was the standard.
Yeah. Unfortunately, today, we don't have a gold or silver-backed currency.
Right.
So we have what is called a fiat currency, which basically is just out of thin air.
Monopoly money.
Well, it is the same as playing the game of Monopoly. And as long as everybody agrees that this dollar is worth X amount and everybody agrees, mm-hmm. I guess it works to a degree. But what happens when the government decides, hey, we're going to play with this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, of course, the modern monetary theory is all about.
Right.
This whole concept that we just make money out of thin air
and we decide
what it's worth.
We need something, let's print some more. It's like being a kid with your parents' credit card.
Yeah.
But inflation, and let's cover what inflation is in simple terms. You know, we're told that inflation means prices are going up. But really, inflation is caused by too many dollars chasing too few products. So price can be affected by the supply chain, availability of something.
Or the rarity of something.
Or the rarity. Yeah.
Like diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah. Sand is not worth much because sand is everywhere.
There's a lot of
diamonds are worth a lot because they're
rare. Kind of like preachers.
Yeah. Good preachers.
There's a lot of preachers. They're worthless. Yeah.
And then the number of dollars. So inflation, an easy way to think about it in what we're experiencing right now is inflating the supply of money.
Right. Exactly.
So, as you said, Dan, and really, ladies and gentlemen, you hear us talk about the Great Reset. And what that is they are getting ready to change the entire economic system globally.
Yeah.
The world has operated based upon one system after World War II. Of course, the whole world is at war. America went to war in two different directions. Europe was basically devastation. Australia, New Zealand was devastated. Japan and China was devastated. Really, America was the last man standing.
Yeah, that's right.
And our economy was rocking and rolling because we were at a war pace. We were producing tanks and ships and armaments and all sorts of things. So we were the top dog after World War II. And the global economists met in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, and decided what the world was going to look like post-World War II. And it was agreed on at that time that the dollar would be the world reserve standard.
Yeah.
Prior to that, if you went to France, you needed to get francs to spend in France. If you went to Great Britain or Germany, you needed marks.
Russia rubles, exactly. Yeah.
But now the deal was going to be the dollar was going to be the world reserve standard. Everything would be executed, all trade, in dollars. And America promised that the dollar would be backed by gold.
Yeah.
And it was that way until the 1970s, when under Nixon and Henry Kissinger, the dollar was removed from the gold standard. That was the first real punch. Actually, that was a sign of the beginning of the end. And then from that time, governments love to have their own central banks. Because, Dan, how do you control people?
Yeah, you can control them two ways. You can either take their money from them, or you can control their health care so that they're afraid they might die.
Your most prized personal possession
is your body.
Is your body.
Your health.
And once the government's taken control of that,
exactly,
you are enslaved.
And really, the other is the same, because when you control their money, you can control the ability to feed yourself and to clothe yourself and to shelter yourself, which in the end is a direct bearing on your health.
And we saw a perfect illustration of that just a month ago.
Yeah, in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you, if you're able to go in and freeze truck drivers' bank accounts so that they cannot go to their ATMs and draw out of their own personal accounts. Mm-hmm. And then you're also powerful enough to get the insurance companies to cancel the insurance on your truck. Now, not only can you not get access to your money, you can't drive your truck because you have no insurance.
Yep.
You've shut that guy down.
You have absolute control over the people.
So, exactly right. So the modern monetary theory is the idea that rather than money being based upon some solid backing like gold or silver, it's just pretend money. Yep. We just tell you what it's worth. And since we can tell you what it's worth, we can just print it anytime we want to.
And the modern monetary theory says we don't really have to pay it back. We can just pay. We're the government. We can just,
we'll just print it.
We'll just print it. We'll print it. And see, that's where the problem really stems from.
Yes.
You know, what we don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, is governments love inflation. When they have a central bank, when we had a gold-backed currency, and we actually had to balance the books, for example, during World War II, the United States government sold war bonds because they couldn't just print money to pay bills.
Because they didn't have enough gold.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Money meant something.
Yes.
It was a certain number of dollars.
Yes.
After we went off the gold standard, and now with central banks where every country can just print their currency, and especially America being the world reserves. David, can you put that M2 money supply up on the screen? This is a diagram of the supply of currency that's in the system, as you'll see here in just a moment once our producer. Nope, wrong one. Next one.
There we go.
Look at this. This goes all the way back to basically Bretton Woods was in 1944. Yeah. It came into force after World War II. We came off the gold standard in 1973
starts curving up.
Yeah. And then this last 2 years, it has just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Now, governments love inflation.
Now, why is that?
Well, it's because if today $1 buys one egg, for example, and I'm the government, and I'm wanting to spend money to buy votes to create more dependency on me and getting us reelected, then today I can create $1,000 today at today's value and give it away at today's value. And then a week from now, when it trickles into the system, by the time it gets to your savings account,
worth $1,000.
Exactly. All of a sudden, a week into the system, 2 weeks into the system, once this money gets out there, then your buying power of your savings has been depleted by that
whatever percentage that we've printed money.
Exactly.
The other reason, if I could interrupt,
go ahead.
The reason that governments like it is because of debt. So you can print money, you pay off old debts that were on the old worth of the currency with new money that's not worth anything, but the number is the same. So we can pay it off with worthless money.
And they're just incentivized to keep repeating the process.
Exactly.
What do we do next week? Well, we'll print more money.
Print more money. Mm-hmm. And so then what you have is you have hyperinflation where you have this massive circulation of money. Then when you infuse something like COVID where you shut the economy down, so production goes basically to zero in many aspects of our economy. Then all of a sudden when you open things back up and then you start giving people money because we shut them down, now they have this money in their pockets, but all of a sudden the supply chain has been greatly damaged and in some ways actually shut down. Now all of a sudden you've got all this extra money chasing fewer things. So you have this incredible cycle now that's feeding itself.
And now it's out of control. It's just skyrocketing, as you see up here.
Almost like it was on purpose.
Almost like it was on purpose. And we would conjecture to say that it's finally reached the point where it is on purpose.
I think so.
We had $5 trillion in debt as a country in 2000. That was after 235 years of being in existence. War for Independence, War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, everything else. $5 trillion. We have now gone up. We've increased that 600% in the last two decades. So we've gone from $5 trillion to over $30 trillion.
But see, here's the reason why our leaders don't mind that. Modern monetary theory, they don't think that's a problem because with this new theory, we can just print more money.
We've always got money. Let's just print more.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We can digitize it. Mm-hmm. We have literally a printing press, although basically it's digital now. Right. So we'll just make more money. That's this new theory that we haven't worked under most of our history. And that's why we are now in such trouble. And what happens is you hit this critical mass point, which is, I think, where we are.
Yep.
And the whole danger of this is you also have working from the other side, what you've been hammering, this great reset. Mm-hmm. They want to crash the American economy because we don't want the U.S. dollar to be the standard currency.
Yep.
We want an international currency.
With our Declaration of Independence and our brief heritage of 250 years roughly, and with, you know, as many flaws as we have found out were in the Constitution, it was still the best governing document.
Yeah, it was human, so it was going to have flaws no matter what.
Exactly. Well, now we, but America has always stood in the way of that dream of one world global government.
Sure, we've always been
stubborn. Yeah, we've been stubborn. We're not going to go there. President couldn't get us go along.
Plus, too powerful, too.
Yeah,
too
that's true. They've kept pushing us further and further along. So it's imperative that they destroy the dollar.
Yes. Now, weaken America, whatever you have to do to do it.
And now we're at a point with all the global debt, and they have successfully just about, I mean, the dollar is on a
life support.
Yeah, life support.
It's
right
on
now.
Life support.
But once they get to that point, then obviously we must have a great economic reset.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I think our folks need to remember if they don't know. We have insiders in our government who are a part of this. They want this to happen. So it's not just the world conspiring against the United States of America. Much of our own leadership today, especially on the Democratic left, they are a part of this. They want this.
Not loyal to the Constitution.
They don't
care
about the Constitution.
Yep, that's exactly
and the proof of it is the way that they act unilaterally to violate the actual branches of government and responsibility. If they want to do something and they get can't get Congress to do it, they'll either get a judge to do it or the president will just issue an unconstitutional executive order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the proof is there. So why does this matter then to our people? Why is it important that we understand all this?
Well, one thing that I want to make sure our people understand is that we are not going back to the old normal.
Yeah, and that's really hard for people to grasp.
It's hard for me. It's hard for all of us.
Yeah.
We have, quite frankly, we have enjoyed it. Now, that's not saying the future can't be bright. It can be if the right people, meaning us, if we are involved in what the Great Reset actually looks like. But we aren't going back to the old normal.
No.
And we have all gone along and said, okay, we'll take the jab, we'll wear the mask, we'll do whatever. Can't we just make it back to normal?
No.
This is by design.
No.
The COVID thing,
exactly
we have already...
Right.
Go to our website, declarationforliberty.com, and watch our 30-minute video, What is the Great Reset? You'll understand how this pandemic was actually a plandemic. All of this has been put together. We encourage you to go to Substack and look at Dr. Robert Malone. He is the co-inventor of mRNA, brilliant man. His progress in thinking through the evils of global governance over the last year has been amazing.
Well, he didn't realize that he was a pawn in this bigger scheme. Yeah. He was just simply being an innovative scientist trying to create new forms of treatment. He didn't realize that he's playing right into the hands of this whole Great Reset group that was, I think, pulling the strings with COVID and setting us up for this.
Well, his technology was what was behind this experimental jab.
Yeah.
And he even took the first round.
Yeah,
he was that much of a believer. But he's come to realize that this isn't about healthcare. It's about control. And this digital passport, the vaccine. Can we get that other slide, David? This is just yesterday or today. But here you have the United States wanting to take the lead on making sure the entire world gets jabbed. Now, we have learned that this thing is far from being tested and safe. Well, we are
fact,
past
Malone,
the crisis.
Malone is blowing the whistle that it is not safe, and it's causing all kinds of heart problems, blood clot issues, your immune system.
Yep.
It's causing all kinds of problems there with T cells and all
your
that.
T cells, so, right. Inhibits your body's ability to defend
itself. So it's really not safe. We know it's not.
So why is it then that this was, actually this came out today on Epoch Times 2 hours ago, or about 2 hours before we came up here to record this. White House COVID-19 czar says the U.S. has a national interest to vaccinate the entire world. Nobody's masking anymore. I mean, there's not any.
Well, now just become a way of life, and it's just another coronavirus on the list.
Exactly.
Of coronaviruses.
It's not affecting our day-to-day lives anymore. No, why is this mandatory?
And you know, here's the amazing thing, Paul. Yeah. It never did.
No, I agree.
That's the thing. It never did.
We know that.
99.9% of the people who got it survived.
We lived the last two and a half years normally here at Fairview Baptist in our congregation.
And I would even argue with Malone and others that many of them who did die, if they'd have treated them properly, wouldn't have died. We came up with these crazy protocols and rewarded hospitals. If they'll kill you, we'll reward you by giving you a huge payoff.
Dr. McCullough from Texas said that if we had treated these cases early and aggressively with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, 85% of those that wound up dying would still be alive.
Oh, it's exactly right. Yeah.
So this was a epidemic that was planned, promoted, and created for this cause to get people. This isn't about health.
To get them afraid.
This is about getting. Yeah. Well, fear is a great motivator. Isn't
of course it is.
But they are wanting to drive the entire world into registering to implement the new central bank digital currency, which we will no longer have unalienable rights. We all, as global citizens, will be governed or granted privileges, as you've talked about.
Now, how are they going to do this with a digital currency? Why is that the key to this thing, Paul?
Well, they are able to – actually, they believe that there are some things within the vaccine where they can tell who has taken it, who hasn't.
Right.
They can actually connect to certain things technologically. Right. But they will be able to program your currency to where there are places
– like based, a credit card or
based,
a debit card.
Based upon your environmental, social justice, and governance credit score, your ESG score, which you did a great sermon on just a few weeks ago, that's on our website, fairviewbaptistedmond.org. Look up the ESG sermon. But then you will be granted privileges based upon your behavior, what you can buy, where you can travel, everything. You will be tracked through this 5G technology, which will be able to handle all of the use.
And so if they decide, for instance, that you're a little overweight, your debit card won't work at the Pizza Hut.
And my smart microwave, by the way, when I throw that bag of popcorn in at 11 o'clock and I push on, it'll say, you're too fat, go back to bed.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If people don't think that will work, just try not paying your credit card bill on time and watch how they'll freeze that. And they did it digitally. It's being done with computers.
Yep.
So why couldn't they do that with a U.S. digital dollar? Because basically what you're going to have, initially anyway, is a card.
Yep.
It'll be just like a credit card, but now it's a debit card. Mm-hmm. And why couldn't they program it? And the answer is they could.
Yeah, they can.
So if you're driving too much, well, then your environmental score is too low, so it won't work at the gas station.
Yep.
You can't buy fuel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And people need to understand that this is no longer fairy tale 1984 stuff.
No.
This is actually technologically possible right now.
Yeah. As Dr. Malone, who was not a, I would say, in fact, Dr. Malone, I believe, voted for Obama.
Yeah.
Or not Obama, but Biden. Yeah. I believe. I heard someone say that. I may be wrong on that, but I believe. So he was not a far-right conservative Christian.
He's kind of become that, hasn't he?
But he's become that based upon what he's actually seen and what's actually going on with the Davos crowd, the World Economic Forum.
So this is all big-picture stuff. Most of us don't have control over the group that meets in Davos, the World Economic Forum and all that, and Klaus Schwab. So let's bring it down to the personal level. What do people do?
You know what I think we're going to have to do? We're at almost 20 minutes. We're going to have to do that in our next podcast. I know. I'm sorry. I just blab on and on. But this broadcast, we have revealed the problem, perhaps, if you weren't already aware of it. Hopefully, if you're part of our audience, you are already aware of this stuff. But next podcast, we'll present just some common sense things that you can do to begin preparing for what, quite frankly, is going to be an interesting.
Yeah, it could be a huge economic storm.
Interesting 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, and I think preachers need to be preparing their people.
If we are shepherding our flocks, you know what? We want all of our people to be born again and bound for heaven.
Of course.
We also want them to be in good health. We want them to be happy. We want them to have good jobs, to be able to pay their bills. We want them to enjoy the pursuit of happiness that we are intended to enjoy here as God's creation.
And that's, by the way, spiritual.
Absolutely.
So this is not unspiritual stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that'll bring us to an end of this week. We will pick it up in our next podcast. As our logo says, we are definitely in the midst of a storm, but with the Lord, as our King and God, we'll ride it out together. Dan, it's always fun.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man.
We'll look forward to being with you the next time for the next edition of Riding the Storm Out. Until then, God bless you.
See you next time.